Hello, and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal preview show. I'm your host, Jonathan Doyles. On the preview show, I'm joined by regular pundit David Sims and by Magpies fan Anthony Gray to look ahead to another massive Premier League clash at St James's Park this coming Sunday. And remember, you can watch our Newcastle versus Arsenal live on Sky Sports Premier League at 4:30 and also in the River Bar, our supporters club bar in Dublin City Centre. Welcome back and enjoy the show. It's great to have along. Massive Newcastle fan. He was on last season on both our preview and review shows. Great to have him back. Anthony Gray, how are you, pal?
Hi, Johnny. How are you keeping?
Great to have you back on, pal.
Yeah, nobody yet.
Last few months have flown in, so it's great to have you on.
Yeah.
I'm also joined by UK Gooner, new to the show, and he's been on the last few episodes. David Sims, how are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Hi, Anthony. You good?
Hi,
Confident?
David. How are you keeping? Yeah, all good.
Over the next 30 odd minutes, we should have a nice bit of rivalry here, I hope. Up the tune, Ernie. I know. Before we start, David, are you heading over this one yourself on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll be there on Sunday. There's a few of us going up on Saturday afternoon to enjoy Newcastle Fair City on Saturday night. So if all goes to plan, we should be there on the Sunday afternoon,
Lovely.
depending on what time we get to bed on the Sunday morning.
Anthony, are you heading over Sunday?
I'm not over this weekend. No, I'm not over for this one. No, I was there for the I was there for the 1-0 last year, but I'm not going to make it this Sunday. No.
So it's like myself, the armchair viewer, nothing better.
Yeah, right. I might go down to the I might go down to the supporters bar. Our supporters bar is in the Bleakers, the
And
Bleaker Street
that
Club. Yeah.
supporters club, Anthony, that's grown really big, isn't it? The Newcastle supporters group, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone official now. Yeah, we're an official supporters club recognised by the club now. So
Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
we've really grown in numbers. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, congrats on that, Anthony. Fair play. Yeah.
Yeah.
I met a few of the lads, Alan Williamson.
Alan, yeah, he'd be I don't know if, I think he's treasurer. And then Tev is the chairman, yeah.
I'd have to say met him during the Champions League night. Conor McNamara was doing a special one with Evan Pearson, the preview show that night. And we met them
Yeah.
lads, really top lads, and it's great to see yourselves affiliated with the club now, Anthony. Yeah, so that's really good news, pal. I hope
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that. In terms of the match preview, going to Newcastle first, they lost Alexander Isak, of course, to Liverpool for 145 million euro, but they've signed Johan Vissa from Brentford for 57, who looks like he's going to come back playing for the Toon after the international break, I think it is. Nick Valtamadi signed from Stuttgart for 75, who got off the mark against Wolves in the 1-1 win at home. Anthony Elanga from Notts Forest for 61 million, which was a really good signing. The pace of him against Barcelona last towards he was just incredible. Jacob Ramsey from Aston Villa for 45 million. Malick Thiaw from Milan for 35 million. And our ex-goalkeeper for ourselves, Aaron Ramsdale, who was at Southampton, he's on loan with ourselves, Anthony. What do you make of the new signings? Alexander Isak was such a big loss and such a huge void to fill. Can you see Nick Valtamadi and Johan Vissa being that partnership that can get those missed goals you're going to miss from Isak?
Well, I can a big fan of Johan Wisser, but yeah, I think everyone was very annoyed how he's got injured playing for the Congo there. He's going to be out for he's still got another 2 or 3 weeks before he gets back. Nick Valtamada, it wasn't great against Bournemouth. He was a lot more confident in the Wolves game. Did pretty well last night when he came on. In the cup game, obviously against Bradford, not exactly Premier League quality, but yeah, no, he did wasn't great against Bournemouth. And then Wissa, I think Wissa's going to be the main man when he comes back, and then Valtamada will probably come off the bench, or he might switch it around. Eddie does like to rotate a bit. He's got decent squad numbers in now, so and then we've also got Asula as well.
He's pretty good, actually, Anthony.
Yeah, he did well under 21s. He's raw. He is raw, but look, if there's one man to tune him up, it is Eddie Howe. But yeah, no, he took his goal as well. Took his goal. Well, his first goal last night, he took well. Second one was obviously a tap in, but yeah, I prefer Rasula on the right wing, but he's not really going to get much game time there. And then I read today we're going in for another striker in January. Whether that's true or not, I don't think we really need to. With Altamirano, that when Visser comes back, the only problem with Visser is the injury that he's got. He's gonna come back, and then it's gonna take him another couple of weeks as well when he does come back from injury as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a bit of a. And I look, I know we're playing Gordon up front as well, but he's not a striker. Like he's really not. He's nowhere near. Nowhere.
Mourinho isn't either.
Well, yeah, he's nowhere near effective on the as he is on the left. So yeah, no, just hopefully Nick Valtamada just kind of gains a bit of confidence, and he does look a tidy player. He does like he's got a really good touch of the ball, and he kind of scans around him, so he's got a good football brain. But yeah, it's going to take him time. It's going to take him time. But yeah.
Yeah, I can see kind of a partner's but he's bringing this up in comparison, being a Geordie yourself, but I can see kind of like a Niall Quinn, Kevin Phillips type thing, you know, little and large. I can see already with Valtamadi, he can hold the ball up really well to bring players in. You think
Yeah.
that could be kind of a partnership that you could see, you know, Valtamadi laying it off to Vissa and vice versa, you know, to it could work, couldn't it?
I can't see it.
No. Yeah.
You never seen unless we were kind of chasing a goal. You never seen Wilson and Isak together really.
Yeah.
The only time you would is if Isak was going out on the left, which again Isak would only go out onto the left for certain games. Eddie changes it up dependent on the opposition, but no, I don't think we'll see the crouch and the foe type kind of thing going on there. No, I just can't see it. Yeah, he's
I say you're very excited, though. With Anthony Elanga, Anto, particularly he destroyed the Barcelona fullback all night last Thursday. Is that getting
Yeah,
your
it's very good.
fans excited? The signing of
Well, actually, from so the lads who I go to the games with, we're actually between ourselves. We've been discussing, not particularly sold on him yet. He did well against, but no, he did. No, to be fair, he did well. He looks dangerous against Barca, but obviously, we're watching every minute of the other games. You know, like the Premier League games that are going on, and not everybody's watching. Obviously, every minute of the Newcastle game, and so far, not exactly sold on him yet. But again, early days for him. But yeah, no. Last night he wasn't great. He
that's
really,
great to
really.
hear. That's really good to hear, though.
No, yeah. I think he'll go with I think he'll go with Murphy on Sunday myself. I do think he'll go Murphy on Sunday. Just because,
Yeah, he's a good player.
yeah, I think he's
Yeah,
underrated.
he plays well against Arsenal. He's got a bit of history, you know. I think he'll yeah, I think he'll definitely will, you know, Murphy will start, I'm sure.
Yeah, Murphy will start, and it's because Valtamada is playing. As frightening as Alanga's pace is, Jacob Murphy, in a sense, I think is very underrated. Is on the basis that when it comes to being a winger, some of them are a bit scared of, you know, like just whipping a ball in, whipping a ball
Yeah.
in. And since Eddie Howe's came in, got to work with Jacob Murphy, you can really see a change in his game. And you'll notice straight away when you watch Murphy come in comparison to Alanga. He doesn't mess about when as soon as the ball comes in, he'll whip it in straight away. And I think that will be the reason why he'll go Murphy ahead of Alanga, just to kind of give your centre back something to think about with Valtamada. Yeah.
So, just a question, Anthony, about Sunday. So obviously, yeah. So you've got some involvement in the supporters clubs and whatever. Are you going to be having a tifo on Sunday or not? One of your amazing
The torso,
displays, because if you are, Can you tell me who doesn't? Because we could do with that down at Arsenal. I don't know if you saw the one that we had for PSG. It was like a
Yeah,
tea
never
towel
seen that.
over the North Bank that someone had got from a shop or something, Lidl, I think. Other supermarkets are available. It was atrocious. And you're on the level of PSG. I mean, unbelievable. I was at the PSG semi-final Champions League, and I've never seen anything like it. And yeah, Newcastle have really got, they've got the, whoever's designing that or in charge of it, brilliant. But obviously you won't be doing that on Sunday, will you? So that's good. That's good.
So it's a group. So a group called War Flags. That do our typhos. They packed it in. The near the end of the Ashley era. They did pack it in, but then they brought it back when the new owners came, and they really got some. They get backing from the new owners as well. The new owners are really into it. But it's all. What's the word I'm looking for?
Fan base.
It's all voluntary, sorry, it's all voluntary workers.
Incredible work, Anthony. Isn't it? Is that
Amazing,
incredible?
amazing.
Absolutely.
All voluntary work, yeah. And they got a few of the lads off the supporters group. They invited our supporters group to give them a dig out for one of the games last season, and they did. And then, yeah, no, it's look, the typho against PSG was something to behold, all right. And funny enough,
I don't understand. I don't understand a club of Arsenal's history to come out with something like that. We were so excited by what was coming, and then we all just looked at this and we were like, "What has happened here?" And a way that it had been leaked earlier on the day that there was going to be one. Watch out for it. And it was like,
and
it was just.
The club put a stop to it or something, didn't they? The Arsenal board put a stop to it, and then before you know it,
We'd raised money and we were doing something. Yeah, the Ashburton Army were doing stuff and it all fell apart, and that was what they gave us. But that won't happen again. I'm sure you about that. It was just brilliant. But listen, hey, it's football. It's what we all love, isn't it? So and that's the thing about Newcastle. The way I see it is that you as supporters, you give that extra 10% to your players on the pitch. They play at 95%, 98%, but you give them that extra 10% that takes them and makes an unbelievable atmosphere, and players really play to their highest level. And something that you've got right since COVID, since we all came back, I think Newcastle has really shown. They had great atmosphere back in the day, when Shearer and everybody, I used to go up there, but you've really brought it back to a fantastic. I cannot wait to go on Sunday. I've been lucky to go a few times over the last few years to Newcastle, and Sunday, you've had us the last few years, and I think Sunday could, we're hoping for revenge. Obviously, we're on form, and I think it's this game has come at a perfect time for Arsenal. That's all I can say. I think it really has. We've had a terrible start to the season with our fixtures, very difficult, games, as Liverpool away and United away and City at home and whatever. But yeah, this is the end of that beginning six games. So obviously, if we don't have Handbrake FC and we're not 10 men behind the ball, we'll give you a good game of football on Sunday, but we'll see what happens.
In terms of your start of the season and the 6 points in the Premier League, the Alexander Isak situation didn't help is at all. Definitely the 4th month of August. Just to get your opinion briefly on that one, Anthony. I say a lot of Newcastle fans. He was a really top striker for his last year in particular, Alexander Isak. What was the tone from Newcastle fans the way he handled the situation there, Liverpool? He'll go down hated now, won't he?
Jesus Christ, yeah, there's the bridges are completely burned. There was always a feeling that he was always going to move on, which is fair enough. But the way how he conducted it throughout the summer was just completely bang out of order. It's funny, he got his move, and then Mark Gahey has acted graciously, and he hasn't got his move, but he's kept his respect, like amongst the kind of footballing world. Whereas, like, I think the footballing world now is watching Isak and they're kind of hoping that he fails. Not even just Newcastle fans. I think it's the actual footballing world now are going to watch and just kind of hope it blows up in his face now, being honest. Yeah, I think if they
Well,
had
you've
it
got our
won.
backing. You've got our backing for sure.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't score a goal for
Yeah. Like, if, do you know what? If there was a way of going about it, then fair enough. If he went around it the right way and just said, "Look, hold me hands up," and say, "His agent is a right dodgy. See you next Tuesday." So he's obviously been advised the wrong way as well. This whole bull BS about being, oh, I was promised this, I was promised that, but realistically, this is a business. And there would have, if there was really a promise put into place, there would have been something put in writing, something put in black and white. A proper agent would have had something in writing. Let's be honest here. This deal would have been worth millions upon
Stuff is
millions.
recorded. It's recorded. Conversations are recorded. You know, nothing is done on a handshake or whatever. Not when it's at this level.
Yes,
Not at all. I agree with
exactly, yeah, and there's very few things that I agree with Simon Jordan, but he made a great point. He goes, "No way on this planet," and a lot of people came out and said, "There's absolutely no way on this planet that somebody would have promised him, and if it was really a promise that was set in stone, a proper agent would have got that done in writing, no problem. Everybody moves on happy, but the way how he's gone about it now." We were watching afar ago and looking at Whistler and going, "That's not really great, is it either?" Like, where there was this thing about, "Oh, well, Newcastle fans are happy about Whistler doing it." We weren't. We weren't. It was a bit. We do tend to. And then again, they tried to pull the Anthony Gordon card. Well, Anthony Gordon got chased out of the ground by his fans, and that was a completely different situation as well.
Yeah.
But the Whistler one, we weren't
I mean,
really.
I compare it. Yeah, Anthony, I compare it to, and it is a good comparison to Rice at West Ham. So
Yeah.
Rice, been there for years. Wins them a trophy, right? Single-handedly, almost. You know, drags them to Europe. They win a trophy, and then he decides to goes for 100 million quid, which was half price, by the way. And comes to the Arsenal. And at no point did he go on strike, throw his toys out the pram. It was like, okay, fair enough. He wants to go. You know, he's given us everything. It's a polite conversation. For you guys, you had someone there who had been prolific last year, was only getting better, had won you your first trophy for many, many years. You're in the Champions League. What more does he want? You can build a team. You've got good players. You bring
Yeah.
more players in. You've got your owners, which, is another conversation, but they've got money, and you're only building, right? And I find it really, it is very bizarre that he decided something was obviously said. There was something that got his back up, and then he went bad on you. And it's very strange because he had the world at his feet, really. You're in the Champions League. You're
Yeah.
building a team. He was loved by the fans, adored by the fans, legend status already, and he threw it all in the bin. And it's the worst type of footballer in 2025. And like you say, it will bite him. It will affect him. And other people will be looking at him. He will have to stay at Liverpool. And if it doesn't work out, who knows where he'll end up afterwards? Because if he thinks he's gonna, be at there for a bit and then he's gonna go to Madrid, they won't touch him. I
Yeah.
mean, he's a foolish guy. Foolish, foolish guy. He should
Yeah.
have stayed with you.
And he did get a lot of service from Jacob Murphy as well. Jacob Murphy was assisting a lot of his goals as well. So, obviously it wouldn't have been the difference, but with Isak after the cup final, a complete shadow of himself. Just it lot it really that and then it was something that was pulled up, obviously. You know, when Newcastle fans are conversating with each other, everyone was kind of thinking, "What the fuck? Where's this Isak from the first half of the season? The Christmas period gone. He just looks like he's just sauntering around. He doesn't look fit. He's either looked injured, and then there was an article came out that he was like just didn't want to be there anymore. He was kind of just kind of fell off the boil on purpose and all this. I don't think it was. I think he probably did have his head turned at some stage, but again, I do think it was money at the end of the day. If you're being touted as one of the best strikers in the world, you're probably looking at it thinking he's probably his agent. Agent's probably in his ear going, you should be getting the best player in the world or best striker in the world's wages then. I think he was on 110, 120 at Newcastle when, what were they talking about? Nearly 300K a week or something ridiculous. And half of that gets taxed in the UK as well. So, like, it's a lot of it does come down to, I think a lot of it did come down to money at the end of the day. And he was poorly advised, yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at it on the other side of it, just to talk about the situation for a second. So you've got Hugo Ekitike, who's gone to Liverpool thinking he's going to be the striker, right? And then suddenly you've got Isak who's turned up, putting him out of joint, and then you've got Ekitike who does the game against Southampton, gets a yellow card, scores the winner, takes his shirt off, gets another yellow card, he's banned for Palace, and now Slot has now taken 2 weeks' wages off him, and Hugo's not happy, and he's talking. He wants to leave Liverpool. He's only been there 2 minutes because he's using this now as he's looking at Isak now getting into the team, thinking, "Well, I'm not going to get any minutes. He was trying to say, look at me. He takes his shirt off. He's doing the old Messi thing, holding the shirt up. Look at my name. Okay, it's only Southampton. Calm down. But this is the fickle footballer." Isn't it? He's only been there 2 minutes. Now Isak's come in and he's like, I want to move. He's probably going to leave in January. You never know. You might be able to buy him off him. So good luck to you. Hope you get him. But it's a
Supposed to be a bad
shambles.
egg.
It's a shambles.
He's supposed to be a bad egg, isn't he? Ekitike. We were in for him years ago before he went to PSG, and he chose PSG over us. So he's already.
He's already despair already.
I think twice he's turned us down now. So yeah.
I think you'll find Spurs went in for him as well, like they do most people, but he decided he didn't want to join them.
Chose
So and
to not like a giant
yeah,
and
we refused him anyway. Yeah, we refused him. So but yeah, I just think again, the Isak situation has really thrown up how bad and fickle some of these footballers. There's no loyalty in football, is there? The
No.
only loyalty is the fan. You is us three guys. We're the ones that follow our teams home and away, go to the games, been with them for years. We don't swap and change. We don't just suddenly decide, next week, I'm going to follow Newcastle. I'm going to follow Brighton. It doesn't happen. But players swap around, and now when there's so much money being thrown around, their agents force the issue as well, and they just they say, listen, it's quite good over there. Go on that side of the fence. And it's not. And it's like, I think, I hope he's proven. I mean, Etiquette, he's 23 years old, and he's already, he's now not going to get, he's not, yeah, it's like going to come in and probably play a lot more. So, yeah, we'll see. But Sunday's going to be a great game. I'm expecting a very, very good tifo from you. I want to see what you
Yeah, that's all right, yeah.
In terms of your start of the season, Anthony,
Start of the season,
you've
yeah.
kept 14 sheets from 5 games so far, and I'm really unlucky to be honest. That last minute goal from Rio of Liverpool in the 3-2 game at St James's. What have you made to your start of the season? 14 sheets isn't too bad, is it?
It's okay.
Scoring
Well,
goals, obviously, is the big one.
the game against Villa, we absolutely pummeled them, and if we had any sort of striker, against Villa, we win that game. I was at the Liverpool game. Jesus, that was an absolute roller coaster of emotions, that one. Yeah, absolutely gut wrenching when he got that last minute winner. My word. It
We were
was,
all there with you, brother.
yeah, it was. Geez, it was some game. Probably in terms of atmosphere, probably the best I've been to. It was an absolute bear pit. It was 27 degrees in Newcastle that day on a bank holiday Monday. So we weren't sober by the time kickoff. It was a long day. I think we got into Newcastle at half 7 in the morning or something ridiculous.
God, Anthony not sober at St. James's Park, I couldn't imagine
So yeah, it was we did call it long ass day because it was a really long day. The Bournemouth game was a Jesus, it wasn't one it's one of them games where because it's your own team, you're emotionally attached to it, so you don't kind of realize how bad it is.
Yeah.
But it does get to like the 70th minute and you just think to yourself, well, geez, I wouldn't like to be watching this game if I wasn't a fan. So that wasn't amazing. Wolves was a bit more comfortable. It could have been more than 1-0. But yeah, look, it's not too bad. Like we're not getting beat. We do look solid at the back. We've got, to be fair, we've got. I think we've well, we do have a really, really good choice of defenders now. Really, really good choice. Sven Botman's come back and he looks like he's ready to kind of just show Eddie Howe, look, realistically, you should be starting me again. I know I was out injured, but he's been a Rolls Royce this season so far. He would be one of the few players who could probably go a lot higher than Newcastle. He could probably go to one of the bigger boys in Europe. But yeah, look, decent start so far. Sunday, I don't really know, just because we look like we're in terms of ideas when we get into the final third, we look a lot different than what we did the last couple of seasons, if that makes sense. We're doing this thing now where now we're just we used to play nice and neat football, and it just seems a bit rushed now in the final third. But look, Sunday, am I confident? Not as confident what I was last year going into the games. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, and
Got to know
obviously, I mean,
Newcastle
Arsenal don't.
we got to know
Arsenal don't. Go on, sorry.
Sorry, Dave. We met Newcastle four times last season. In terms of the league, Isak got the winner at St. James's. Declan Rice got a screamer at the Emirates at the end of last season. And then the Carabao Cup games, we lost 2-0 at home and 2-0 away. Isak and Gordon at the Emirates, and Gordon and Murphy. And to be honest, we as a Gunners fan, David, I was very confident that we would beat Newcastle over both legs. But when we went 2-0 down at home, it was game over for me. Was that the same for you in that first leg, David?
And then I felt that we were very lackluster, and I think the pressures. And it's the old adage, the ball was a little bit too light and the ground was a little bit too wet, but I think in real terms,
Yeah, 100%.
our injuries had ripped through us at that point in the season. And I think, they just took the foot off the gas, and it was, but again, Newcastle were up for it. This is the point, they had the bit in their teeth, and you were up for it. And I just don't think we were up for it. And I don't think we've really been up for it against you up at Newcastle
Yeah.
for, for a while actually. So I'm expecting that to be different on Sunday. I think that will be the thing. I think we'll be more attack minded, hopefully, on Sunday. And yeah, we've got a very good defence at the moment. I think that's, the stats say that alone. We are very hard to score against. And with you failing a little bit in that last third, it's going to be an interesting game. Do you think you're going to be set up to attack, defend, or just see how it pans out? I mean, because Eddie does like to expand the pitch, doesn't he? He does like to press on, especially at home in front of your fans.
When I was on the podcast last year, the lads could sense I was extremely confident against Arsenal. And that's because against Arsenal, we like to really press from the front. Against Arsenal, we really like to put the pressure on. And I know Arsenal have always had this thing about being too nice. And when teams kind of run at you and really put you under pressure, it does seem like you don't like it. So I do think we will press from the front, really go in hard and I think we'll do what we've done the last, if I'm being honest. Just I think because if we sit back and allow you to play your game, then you're just gonna pass the ball around as passes to death and look, eventually win the game. So I do think I was at when I was at the league game last year, when we won 1-0. Arsenal were very flat in the final third. Saka wasn't at the races. Martinelli was Martinelli, and
I was
just
scoring in the last 5 minutes.
So yeah, I think the only way we can beat Arsenal is if we really put you under pressure, and hopefully the home crowd will give the lads obviously that extra bit of zest and a bit of energy. So yeah, look, we'll see how it goes. But
Have
look,
you, and another question, have you got your VAR cameras working and the white lines now where we know the ball's either in or out? Do we, are they working yet? I mean, one of my favorite things was watching Gary Neville after that game with that ball on that white line, trying to explain that the ball
absolute
was
mess.
in and you couldn't see it. I mean, what a load of cock of bullshit that was. I mean, it was just it was terrible, absolutely terrible. But yeah, listen, these things happen, you know, before VAR. We would have gone to the pub afterwards, Newcastle and Arsenal fans, and we'd have all talked about whether that was offside, onside, whatever. It would always been these discussions, right? And now they brought something in which is meant to make those discussions not happen. And it's, but obviously we know it just makes more discussions because it's not clear, it's not obvious. They change the perception of it continually, how they read it, where they read it from. Oh, it's his toe, it's his elbow, it's the side of his head, it's, you know, all of these things. There's no consistency whatsoever. You know, let's just hope that come Sunday, it's a proper game, and a sense that when the goals are scored, that either the away fans or the home fans get to celebrate those goals as they go in, and not have to wait 5 minutes for a goal to be announced, either yes or no. I think that is the worst thing as fans of any get of anybody, Newcastle or Arsenal, is when we're in the ground and a ball bobbles in and you all think, oh, it's a, oh, no, it won't be, will it? And they, and you lose that moment of excitement. Oh no, he's off. Someone said, oh, he's off. And then suddenly it just dies down really quickly. And then you have to wait for 2 minutes and they go, oh, it's a goal. And we all just cheer. But you don't have the intensity.
Especially in the ground. Yeah, I think when you're at the game, you do kind of think to yourself, what the fuck are we doing here? We're just kind of sitting around for a minute or two, and then it eventually goes in, and it does really take away from it. But yeah, it's kind of VAR has kind of killed the excitement of being at the game a little bit for goals, I do think. It is
I
a
mean,
bit.
we're lucky this season we've had some very dramatic goals scored, some of Mbembe's goals. You know, we've had goals scored from 20, 30 yards or whatever that, you know, you're thinking, well, he's in the middle of the pitch, he's got the ball at his feet, he's buried it. That's a goal. There's no one that, that it never there was never an incident before. There's no, it's not a free kick, he's not offside, and you can really celebrate it. Even the equaliser on Sunday against City. It came as VAR straight afterwards in the ground, and we were like, no, this cannot be. The place had been melted, it had gone mental, right? And we were, and obviously, very quickly, within, I don't know, it was like 90 seconds, if that, it was announced it was a goal. I think a lot of people would have been on that pitch if it had been disallowed. I think
Absolutely
you could feel it. You could feel it in the ground. You couldn't you,
Yeah,
Jonathan?
you
You
could
can
feel
feel it
it.
in the ground. It's like,
Yeah,
this is not happening. This is a goal, right? This is a fantastic lob, right? And this is a goal. And yeah, it is a real shame, and it's something that has to be looked at. And only fan groups and real fans that go to the games can be the ones that can be outspoken about this. And I just think that, you know, and especially with the news today, just to talk politics for a minute, that the story about is that we're all going to have ID cards in Great Britain now going forward. I mean, we had this back they're trying to get football fans to have ID cards back in the 80s. And it was unbelievable the way that got the, the scenes about that. So I think, again, I've got an ID card. It's my season ticket and it's my passport, I just think that is something we're all going to have to watch, because that's going to be very interesting about how they're going to bring that through and how it's going to affect football fans as well. But that's for another podcast. Hey.
There's one fascinating thing I'm looking forward to on Sunday's match, with just a couple of minutes of the show remaining, is the midfield battle. Tonali, Guimaraes, and Joelinton. That's going to be a big one, with ourselves, with Roy Subamendi. I think that's the midfield battle will be where I think where it'll be won, and I think the wing play as well, Gordon and Jacob Murphy, if it does happen that way. I remember the goal from Isaac scored at St James Park came from a wicket cross from, I think it was a Gordon or Murphy, Anthony. Was,
It would have been that
yeah, it was one of those crosses where it was
was
perfectly whipped in, and he couldn't have placed it any better past Roy, and
Murphy. I think, or was it
it happened
Gordon? I
so
think
early
Gordon
in the
was on that.
game,
I
that
think
goal,
Gordon just.
the
I think
moment.
Gordon. Sorry, I think Gordon was actually just on that wing for
Yeah.
whatever reason. He was on the right wing at the time. He was.
Yeah.
It was a Gordon cross.
And I
Behind the
think.
goal. Behind the goal for that one. Yeah, I jumped up. I jumped up with Isaac for it.
Yeah, I remember that was a half 12 kickoff, so I don't have to put down that the Arsenal defence wasn't awake at that time. Can I get your predictions with a minute to go, lads? A minute and a bit to go. Prediction them, Anthony, first of all.
I think it's going to be, I actually think it's going to be a nil-nil game.
There's
Nil-nil. Yeah, I do. I think there's going
a
to be a
confident
nil-nil.
man compared to last season. And
Exactly.
it's amazing what 12 months does. Prediction, Dave.
Do one, I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I think Arsenal, or Newcastle 1, Arsenal 2. I think Newcastle will score, and I think we'll get a couple. I mean, I even think Newcastle might score first, and I think we'll wake up and come at you. And I think again, just as Liverpool score in the last 103rd minute, I think the goal scorers for Arsenal will be the subs.
The
But
man
wait
will
and
be
see.
there. We wait and see for Monday show. That's of course. I might go with a 1-0 to the Arsenal. Be safe. Another Declan Rice screamer. There you go. I'd like to thank Newcastle fan Anthony Gray. Thanks very much for coming on, pal. And David
Yeah,
Sims from the UK.
no problem, lads.
At our show on Spotify and the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel. Until our next show. Thanks for listening. Come on, you Gunners.